I'm Susanna Houston from HSF's Head Office Advisory Team, and welcome to Reporting for Duties. Reporting for Duties is our limited podcast series aiming to provide bite-sized insights on corporate reporting and ESG. In this episode, we have Tim Stutt and Carolyn Pugsley reporting for duty, and our topic for discussion is the state of play with international reporting frameworks. Before we get into it, though, I would first like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which we are broadcasting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. So, Tim and Kaz, can you set out some of the key international frameworks and how do companies work out whether they're captured?
I might start on this one and Tim can feel free to jump in. But I feel like the best way to describe it is that it's very much a patchwork quilt, because whilst globally I think there has been an aligned drive across pretty much all regions with similar concepts lying at the heart of each of them, in particular the four CFD pillars, each country is going about it slightly differently. But broadly, if you are in an OECD regime, there is a chance that they will have a framework either already kind of in the process of being implemented or about to be. So just to tick them off, EU has its Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, probably one of the most commonly talked about, and we will go into it in a bit of detail because it is one that picks up a lot of companies operating in region, even if they're not specifically listed or headquartered in the EU. The US has just passed its regime, the SEC regime. So US absolutely keeping the pace and having a regime in place. UK also going with a regime that is very much aligned, like Australia's, to the International Financial Reporting Standards. So they have a regime. And then if you whiz through, obviously, Australia, where we are based, we'll talk a lot about their regime. But New Zealand across the ditch, Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore, China, we could list them off. The point is, most countries are in the process of developing regimes. But talking about the ones that are probably of most relevance, which we can focus on in this podcast, we're in Australia, so we're very focused on our own regime. But in terms of the global ones, EU, US and the UK are probably the three that we talk about most frequently with clients.
But I would say that the EU regime is probably the one that makes my right eye twitch a little bit, because...
Only your right eye, Tim?
Yeah. I'll only admit to the right eye. While TCFD pillars sit at the heart of a lot of the regimes, and there is actually a decent amount of overlap between most of the regimes in that they're sort of TCFD based or they're ISSB based. So that's the International Sustainability Standards Board. Their IFRS S1 General Sustainability Standard and S2 Standard, which is their climate standard, which is the one that Australia's regime is modelled on. They have similar pillars and a similar approach. The EU is slightly different, though. So it is designed to be interoperable with TCFD and ISSB reporting. But the reality is it is a bit different and it is quite a bit more granular. So... it drills down to some quite specific data points and metrics in a way that the other regimes don't really. There is quite a volume of things which need to be reported under it as well. It also has a different concept of materiality, which is a little bit painful for companies to grapple with. So for most of the regimes, there's a concept of materiality around what are the material issues in terms of impact on the business. It's sort of looking at largely financial concepts of materiality in line with existing types of reporting that the entity might do, whereas the EU approach is double materiality. So it's looking at impact on the company, but also the company's impact externally on stakeholders. In a lot of respects, what impacts stakeholders will likely come back to have a financial impact on the company. So you can sort of square the circle in that respect for a lot of issues, but not necessarily all of them. And being able to sort of triangulate and reconcile what issues are material in terms of the EU framework, which is broad sustainability, versus the other frameworks, which maybe broad sustainability, like in the UK, or as is proposed for the UK, or maybe climate specific, like Australia, New Zealand, US. actually being able to sort of reconcile the approaches will be quite important, both in terms of which issues you're talking about, but also the level of coverage of the content requirements too.
That was a big answer to one question, Zan. So we'll endeavour to be slightly more concise. Throw us the next question. We'll see how we go.
So what are some of the tips and tricks that you have for companies to get their heads around whether and if they have to report and how they can best do that?
I think the important thing to kind of start out by clarifying in regards to this particular regime is for a lot of other regulatory regimes, there is a bit of a concept of if your home jurisdiction has a similar or equivalent standard that you're excused from compliance with some foreign regimes. But unfortunately, that's not really contemplated at the moment by any of the draft or recently passed climate legislation. And so the starting point, I guess, is knowing that actually you do need to independently kind of think through the different regimes that might apply. And I guess the two filters to think about it really through, the first hierarchy would be where do you have a listing if you're a listed company? Because in most cases, if you're listed, then that country's regime will apply. So I think that's a good starting point. Certainly for US, UK, that would be, you know, really the main threshold. Underneath that, I think, you know, where you have companies headquartered within your corporate structure, that is another kind of relevant test. You'll have companies that are essentially incorporated in that jurisdiction. And then probably the size of kind of turnover and corporate footprint within a particular jurisdiction, or in case of the EU, set of member states, it is going to be kind of three of the relevant starting point lenses. And actually, I guess, kind of collating that information if it's not already kind of self-evident based on, you know, having a relatively simple corporate structure, then that's something to go about working out. And then you probably need to get your head around the individual threshold tests for each of the regimes, which are all slightly different. So, Tim, I don't know if you wanted to jump in on that one.
They are definitely slightly different. I do think it makes sense to take bites of this over time. So the hierarchy that you're sort of stepping through there, Kaz, I think is the helpful way of kind of unpacking each aspect of it. What we have found to be particularly helpful is the collation of information where you're looking at your assets, your employees, your revenues, your listings for each of the jurisdictions and each of the key subsidiary groups to unpack it, because those things will inform the different thresholds. So, for instance, in Europe, if it's a European undertaking, you'd be looking at number of employees, you'd be looking at assets, you're looking at revenue, and where it's sort of incorporated. Is it an EU member state? So that would be what you require to unpack Europe. In the US, actually, it's your registrant status. So if you do certain types of filings with the SEC, you will be caught there. Often it's listed entities or entities which have sort of higher level sponsored ADR programs. But there's certain types of filings where if you do them, you'll be caught by that regime. So, for instance, if you have to do a 20F, you're likely to be caught. If you have to do an F1 through F4, I think it is, likely to be caught. California also has its own regime, which is a little bit different and not necessarily pegged to the same types of considerations. It's around, do you carry on business in the state of California? And it picks up both Californian registered entities, but also US entities from other states which operate in California. And then it has a second layer, which is around revenue. So total annual revenues on a consolidated basis. So that's California. Most of the other regimes have something which is a little bit similar. So UK, it's sort of driven by listings in terms of their broader ISSB proposed regime. The TCFD requirements also currently mandatorily required for certain entities as well. And then in other jurisdictions, it will vary based on entity sector or type. So, for instance, in some jurisdictions, it's only financial institutions which are in scope. In others, it will be based on some variation of revenue, assets, employees, and we'll deal with the many varied aspects of the Australian regime in a separate podcast episode. So we won't ruin that. We won't ruin that one here. But
in terms of the chunks and the biting it off, I think that the other piece dimension to that is the phasing piece from a time perspective. So it's actually useful to have in your in front of you mapped out, you know, what regimes are going to apply when. Australia is one of the earlier regimes to actually start applying. So there's a natural logic for Australian entities to focus on that first, both because it's probably their primary kind of focus, but also one of the first to apply. Otherwise, I think Europe may apply later, but is probably, as per your initial comments, one of the harder to comply with if you're actually captured by it. So it's probably, don't just look at that one based on date of application and think about it a lot later. That's probably one that if you're likely to be caught by it, you actually might want to start factoring, thinking about report structure and types of topics that are sustainability topics you'd consider material that you'd be required to report against about now.
And it is one which actually can apply twice, in that your European undertakings may get caught in the earlier phasing, whereas the overall group may get caught in a later phasing of it. On the basis that you are a group with a European undertaking in it, which is caught by the regime, and the overall group revenue derived in Europe is 150 million euros or more. So actually the phasing in that context is a little tricky too. The other thing to be aware of with respect to the different international frameworks, and we sort of alluded to it earlier, but the fact that some of them are broader sustainability and some of them are climate specific means that there is a real incentive to land these questions early on and have a pretty granular line of sight into what is going to be required in each of your relevant jurisdictions, because it doesn't make sense to be, say, setting up processes for the purposes of the Australian regime, which is climate only, if in 1 or 2 or 3 years' time, you're suddenly going to have very similar reporting across the breadth of sustainability issues. So in that respect, landing some of those broader international questions on the sooner side is going to be quite important, and it's an area of focus for quite a number of our clients. We're doing quite a bit of work mapping out what's going to happen in each jurisdiction and reporting timelines for the phasing as well. So the whole of the picture can be seen early in the process.
Well, there sure is a lot happening globally in this area and unavoidable nuances that companies will need to get their heads around. So I think the bite-sized insight is that we recommend that you land these questions that the regimes pose early, remember the hierarchy, and start collating your business information. Thanks for joining us. This was Tim Stutt, Carolyn Pugsley and Susanna Hewson reporting for Duty.
You have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Herbert Smith Freehills. For more episodes, please go to our channel on iTunes, Spotify, or SoundCloud, and visit our website, herbertsmithfreehills.com, for more insights relevant to your business.